This episode is brought to you by Chime. It is a credit card that helps you get your credit back on track by building better credit. Just go to chime.com/nowhere.
Today's episode is brought to you by and sponsored by BetterHelp. You know how Chad and I feel about therapy? We talk about it often. We talk about the way it's changed us as human beings. We think it's incredibly important. You can visit BetterHelp, help.com/somewhere. Today you can get 10% off. Check out the people at BetterHelp.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, how are you? Thank you so much for coming back. Houston and Dallas, I could not thank you more for selling out the shows before the big recording of this next hour in St. Paul. Yes, that's a selfish plug. Across from me, as always, is Cyrus Amundson.
Ladies and gentlemen, a plug in the open from Chad Daniels. And Chad, I have a question for you.
Okay, let's go.
How many episodes of Dateline or Forensic Files, pick your path, Dateline or Forensic Files, how many episodes of Dateline in a row do you have to watch before you think, I'm pretty sure I could get away with killing my spouse?
I've never seen Dateline or the other one, Forensic Files, and I think I could do it.
And I'm very much like my wife. I have no aspirations on killing her.
Sure.
But you watch three episodes of Dateline in a row and you're like, you kind of want to try just to prove how dumb these people are. You're like, really, Jason, your plan was to take out an insurance policy, the exact amount of money for everybody knew that you wanted to buy that resort for that exact amount of money. That was your whole plan. God damn, you're a fucking, like,
they're so dumb.
It's crazy. You murdered him with the same gun you'd been posting pictures of yourself holding on Facebook, you fucking boomer murderer. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm really glad you said Facebook there, because that's the only place that plays.
Yeah. Jenna and I are getting life insurance.
That's
a thing you do when you're an adult. And so I have a friend who sells insurance, a friend's father. Let's not pretend any of my friends are grown up enough to be like, I sell insurance.
Yeah.
And I called him and I was like, we'd like to get life insurance. And what we've decided is Jenna needs a far larger policy. Because of my health situation, if something, heaven forbid, were to happen to her, and I've got that's a worse situation. And so we're going to get her a larger policy. But she was like, you just handle it. I was like, what are you fucking crazy? There's no way. I'm like, and give my wife the big one. You will get your own life insurance policy, making paper trail every step of the way.
Yes, it at least needs to be an orgy call.
Yes, I'm not going to have you choke on a hot dog and then have people accuse me of jamming it down your throat because you got a big old life insurance policy.
Exactly.
I've seen too many episodes of Dateline. You can't catch me.
And you know your dream since high school is to have people accusing you of jamming it down somebody's throat. You know that. So I agree. Kelsey asked me about it. She goes, I don't know anything about life insurance. What do you think? You should get some, right? And I was like, you know what? I've seen the clip where you go to Las Vegas and pretend you don't know how to play foosball. So please stop with this. I don't know anything about life insurance. As she's sharpening the fucking knives. It's like, you're not fooling anybody. How much does this house cost? How much would we need to get your life insurance so I could just have the house? Okay. All right.
I want nothing to do with that game. She gets her own, handle it on your own, and then you tell me about it way later, or I learn about it someday. I don't ever want to learn about it. We all know that. But like, I don't want to be, but Chad, but do I think, like, I'm not interested. Murder, pass. Yuck.
Right.
The violence of it, blah. Yep. No thank you. Now, and maybe we've talked about this before, I am curious of how good I'd be. I know I've talked to you about this in person, but anytime I see, evading the cops is interesting to me, like outsmarting a detective. Right. You can only watch so many true crime documentaries with some detective in a cowboy hat, like, and that's when I had a hunch that he did it. It's like, a hunch? Fuck you and me, one-on-one. You don't have a shot. I'm running circles around you and your other Walker, Texas Rangers.
I don't know if it works that way. I mean, I remember when we broke all those pop machines from putting saline solution in there. And then they were like, all right, so can you show us all the different cans? And my buddies went full panic. And they're like, here's a different one too. And it was a grape soda, which they only had at the Walmart. And so they knew we broke all those pop machines too. I'm like, can you motherfuckers hide something?
I can't. All our business ideas. I got a brand new one. I'm shelving Goosebumps. Listen to me.
Okay.
Shelving Goosebumps. This is the plan. Fuck, this is such a good plan. Because I think the thing that I'm interested in, and I know you are, the competition of it.
Yes, absolutely. Like getting away with it.
Oh, you think you're going to catch me? I will win. I will beat you. You can't prove that's my lipstick. So, what if we start a business? So you know those like Western towns, those tourist traps, like you come in and you see a shootout in the middle of the street and you go into the saloon. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
I think we need to buy like a fake little town. Okay.
Sure.
And
Deadwood, South Dakota.
It can be wherever you want. But honestly, that feels like a place where the rules are a little like, do what you want. And so that might be a good place to put it, either there or Arizona or Florida. You know what I'm going for here. And mm-hmm. so I think we get in a lawless place, but we buy a little tourist trap and you can come there and you can be one of a couple things. You know, those murder mystery dinner theater parties, like whodunit?
Absolutely.
Well, at this one, you can either be one of the teams of detectives or you get to be the murderer. What we are going to do is you arrive a day early, okay? And they put you in your house and they leave a dummy in the house and the dummy is dead. And your job is you murdered it. You have to pick a weapon and murder it. I don't think you should have to physically murder it. I take that part back. But you have to dispose of the body and then the dummy's body. It's all these people that listen to all these podcasts, I think we crush in a situation where you also get to be the murderer and the cops.
I'm into that. I would like to see how far I can. First of all, though, the cops aren't going to be real cops. They're just going to be dum-dums on vacation. So now, that is tough.
Now, here's the thing. So we flip it
on
our head.
Are they led by real cops?
We buy multiple tourist towns. We hire retired detectives who want to live in Deadwood, which I think probably a lot of them, that isn't a horrible plan. Yeah, like,
yeah, I don't know what they
want to
do.
Hell yeah, I'm full up to the brim on hunches. Time for me to head out and see if that pays out on the blackjack tables of Deadwood, South Dakota. So, yeah, we just hire old retired cops to try to stop. Yeah, we'll have a bunch of these mini towns, bunch of murders going on at once, and you try to outsmart the cops. I don't think the sharks are going to give us any money on this one.
I don't think they are either. I think that, have you ever seen The Man Who Knew Too Little with Bill Murray, where he doesn't know, he gets signed up for something kind of like that, but then he gets tossed into the real murder and he doesn't know it. So he's really playing it off like, nice job, you guys, like patting their shoulders. I can't believe they found you guys that look like this, but can also act like this. This is really amazing. And they're like, get in the trunk.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, that's a great accent. I don't know how you did that. It's very, very funny. If you're looking for a movie to watch, Man Who Knew Too Little. Now, I'd like to take a step back.
Okay.
I'd like to go back to where you say you want Jenna to get her own life insurance and take care of it. I would love nothing more than if she did all of that, but on the last email she sent, on the bottom it just says, I don't feel safe. And that's it. Actually, I don't feel SAF. That's it. Like she was struck down before she could hit the E. I really do want something. I think
she was in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah, she needs to get the fuck out of here. Save her and your baby.
Do you think that's when you hear, you watch true crime, and I think the natural instinct towards victims in true crime shows is obvious. Like, it seems so obvious that they're about to get killed. Like, and they tell their friends, if something happens to me, Terry did it. And you're like, well, if that's what you're thinking, quit fucking hanging out with Terry.
But exactly.
I think it's more of a slow burn, and the like, people are so nuanced that sometimes you're like, maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe it's kind of like you drop a frog in boiling water, he'll jump out. But if you slowly heat the water up, he goes, is it really that hot or am I crazy? I think that's what happens.
And stays in there and boils to death. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. I think that's very much what happens.
Yeah, well, I'm into it, man. I think...
What do we call it? Murderville. Nope, I don't think we should put murder in the name.
Yeah, plus that's a show on Netflix.
It's a great show. The branding of this is going to be very difficult, but I got to tell you, the white women of this country, you're never going to...
Right.
It's going to be loaded with white women with glasses.
You're going to have white women with glasses leaving national parks while petting the moose to come to our place to fake murder. It's going to be incredible. I think we should call it, you know how they say whodunit? I think it should be called you done it. That's what I think.
You done it.
And Chad, can you get away with it?
Kiss me on my mouth.
Oh,
that,
you know you I will,
done
sweetie.
It? You done it? That is amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
So do we build Goosebumps to fund You Done It, or do we build You Done It and really establish some credibility of like, yeah, these guys have weird ideas, but they're great, and then we unroll Goosebumps?
Obviously, we get Jenna a huge life insurance policy, and then there's an accident with a hot dog, and then we just roll it into both of them.
Yeah, I have to tell you... I do.
Wait, do you think mentioning this on a podcast around. That goes out to the public?
Do
you think that's a bad idea?
Need her around, and it's not just for like, hey, help with my socks. It's like it is for love. I think I do need her around for love.
Well, that's fair. So we'll let her off the hook. We'll just have to figure something out. You know, we could just always get Shubes in trouble.
And I think that's a great plan. I don't know how we do it with Shubes, but if we could, I don't think we should, get him in trouble. But I think it's more, whatever we do, let's make Shubes the patsy.
Easily
make him the patsy.
We're just going to have to strangle whoever we strangle with catcher's mitts. And then they'll see his hands and be like, yeah, it was you fucking ding dong.
Either somebody choked this man to death with those giant foam fingers, or it was Alex Schubert.
That's so great. Let me tell you a little something that happened to me. I'd like to give a shout out.
Okay.
I'd like to use this platform to give a shout out.
Shout out alert. Here comes Chad saying nice stuff about a person. I didn't think the sounder through.
You
go ahead.
No, you didn't. So you know what happens when you get to the... Now, this is another airport story, but I always shit on the airport. But I got to tell you, you know what happens when you get all the way to the front of the TSA line? You get all the way to the checkpoint, and then you're not supposed to be in that line.
Yeah.
Right? What happens?
They make you go to the other line.
They make you go to the other line, but not the front of it. They make you go to the back of the other line that you're supposed to be in. And people get pissed, as they should, but those are the rules. So I had to fly a different airline, and I didn't put in my TSA number, so I did not have TSA PreCheck. So in order to get into the TSA PreCheck line, I showed an old boarding pass that had TSA PreCheck on it.
Oh, interesting.
And so they let, so this is on me. They let me through. I wait in line, and I think, I got these motherfuckers, no problem. Because the new thing is, they put your license in.
Yes.
They don't check your boarding pass.
They don't check your boarding pass.
They put your license in, and I have a TSA PreCheck number registered to my name and my license. So I think, dude, no problem. I get in line with the little old fake boarding pass. I give him my ID and blah, blah, blah. Well, turns out after 9/11, TSA really amped up their shit, and your boarding pass is connected to your license. And if you didn't register that particular boarding pass with TSA PreCheck, you cannot go through. And the guy goes, hey, there's no TSA PreCheck on here. And I go, well, I have TSA PreCheck. And what, you need the number? And he goes, no, 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 it has to be on your boarding pass. It should be right here. He showed me, he goes, let me see your boarding pass. And then he showed me where it was supposed to be. And so I go, all right, so I have to go back there. He goes, listen, man, one-time deal. I'm going to let you go to the front over there. Just go through like the little spinning X-ray thing. And I'm like, what the fuck? I met a TSA agent with compassion.
Whoa.
And I wanted to throw it out there.
I think we should just throw the story in the universe, because if any of the people at TSA find out he was that nice, yeah. they'll like publicly behead him at one of the TSA meetings. Like, and if anybody acts like Jeremy, shunk off with his fucking head, like that sort of
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. I actually set the alarm off in TSA PreCheck for the first time in forever, because my hip barely ever sets it off, my fake hip. But I went through and they're like, do you have a belt or a watch? I go, I have a watch. He goes, let me hold it. So I let him hold it. He goes, all right, let me see the belt. I go through again, it goes off. I'm like, I have a fake hip. And he goes, well, that's it. Why didn't you say that? And I go, because normally it lets me go through. And he goes, all right, go over to the spinning X-ray machine. So I go over there and somebody, we're waiting in line, and somebody cuts right to the front. And the woman goes, sir, there's a line here. And he goes, I waited in that line. I'm not waiting in this line. And I'm like, he goes, I'm over in TSA PreCheck. And I go, sir, very calmly, I said, sir, I'm also in TSA PreCheck. And he goes, fine, I'll go behind you, but nobody else. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. He goes, I have a fake knee. And he goes, this is illegal under the ADA. Do you know what the ADA is?
Do I know what the, yes, I know. I'm familiar with the American Disabilities Act.
So it's the American with Disabilities Act. And he goes, why did you get kicked over here? And I go, because I have a fake hip. And he goes, yeah, this is bullshit. They can't, it's illegal for us to, I'm serious. He's like, this is illegal for us to wait in line and then have to wait in another line just because we're disabled. And I go, dude, leave me the fuck out of this. So he starts yelling at the lady and he's like, we are disabled Americans. And I go, I'm not, I'm fine. There, I'm gonna go, I have a fake hip that I actually am more able now than I was before. So I don't want to be part of this conversation.
Does his knee have polio? What do you mean? Like, here's the thing. Me of all people, I'm not going to say somebody who looks some way doesn't get to claim, but like, is this a knee replacement or do you got something going on?
Knee replacement. Yeah, of course. And so, but because anything with like a fake body part, it puts you in the disabled, but I would never ever say that out loud because I have too much pride. And so I'm like, at one point I go, I'll go to the back of the line if you need me to. I mean, I was that against being scrunched in with this Americans with Disability Act. That was fucking crazy because I was like, hey man, I can walk even better. I don't need this shit. And then finally he calmed down a little bit and then I went through nothing, right? And then he went through and they had to do a full body pat down.
Of course they did.
Well, of course. You know she gave him like the touch her nose and then touch her earlobe, steal second.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, we have a bitch coming through. Go ahead and pat him down and make it really uncomfortable. Try to thumb the butthole if you can.
Yeah, this guy is the sort of guy who when you run knuckles over his nuts, if you really make sure each one of those knuckles hits each one of those nuts, it's going to be a bad time for him. So why don't you speed bag his nuts with your knuckles?
I thought of you the other day because I almost got hit by an airport cart. And it was a guy, I mean, younger than me, and I was almost like, really? But then I remembered, I have no idea what he's got going on.
Yeah.
So because of you, look at me. I'm learning because of you.
So I finally got a handicap parking pass. And
okay, I'm going to go ahead and shut my computer. Can you finish the episode?
I finally got it.
Yeah.
Because, and for the reason of if I go to like, I like to go to the tennis tournament here every year. If I have to park where everybody else parks, I can't go to the tennis tournament. I can't walk that far up that, like through that sort of terrain.
Okay.
The other thing, when I travel alone, it's a fucking process for me. And so I used it for the first time at the airport, parking my car there. I understand why people do that when they shouldn't. I understand, like, and I should, I needed to, but I was like, this is unbelievable. I'm so close to the door. It's way better. Yeah. It's so much better. But I don't like that guy. I think that guy sucks. But I have had one of those moments.
I love how you're like, fuck that guy and his disability. Now I got a parking pass because I'm sick of walking.
Dude, it's worse than that. I flew home one time and I had the carts come pick you up. And I flew by myself. So this is my first time flying by myself. I got my bags. It's just fucking impossible for me. I could maybe, the Minneapolis airport is enormous.
Depends on where if you land in a certain spot, you could be hiking forever.
And I could do it, but I'm going to be in so much pain. It's going to ruin my day. I'm coming home. It's my wife's baby shower is what I'm coming in Minnesota is what I'm coming home for. And like, so I'm trying to be as able and happy and helpful as possible. And I ordered the cart. I had the lady order the cart, and the cart didn't come for so long. And then finally they go, we're not coming down there. If he wants a ride, he can come down here. And I did not respond well to that.
Which is crazy because I've seen carts go places. There's no fucking way they should be.
Yeah.
There's no way they should be there.
Those carts are, they drive. You get two type of people who drive the carts at the airport. You get the people you're like, you understand that there are people walking. And then you get the other people who are like, well, if I hit them, do they turn into coins and fall into my purse? There are people who drive wild in those carts.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had to, there was one time I had to sit down on the hood and bounce back up off of one of those carts.
Randy Moss style.
And then I landed, like, it's almost like I used my, my suitcase with the extended handle looked like a pogo stick. Because I had gone all the way over my suitcase.
Ugh.
Hey guys, what are you going to put on your credit card this holiday season? Is it going to be some food maybe? Yeah, some food on the way to wherever you're going? Is it going to be gifts perhaps? Are you going to have to call a tow truck because you get a flat tire over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house? You go, I don't know what it's going to be, but no matter what you're buying this season, when you use the Secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build your credit scores with on-time payments for everyday purchases. Plus, there's no annual fee, interest, or credit check when you get started. I mean, who knows? Maybe your credit sucks because you thought you had signed up for auto pay on GM Financial and you haven't. And then all of a sudden you have a 60-day late fee, and then you almost can't get a house. So you need to build that credit. That is where the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card comes in. There's no annual fees, interest, or credit checks, like I said. You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. You can build credit using your own money, right? If you get a Chime checking account, you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. There's fee-free overdraft with SpotMe. That gives you up to $200 of overdrafting without fees with SpotMe when you set it up correctly. There's the ditch the monthly fees, right? You got to love that. Chime has no monthly minimum balance or overdraft fees. Plus, you can access up to 60,000, even more than that, free ATMs. That's more than the top three national banks combined. Easily find one near you with the Chime app. You can also pay friends through Chime if they're Chime members or not, and cash out your money fee free. You got to love fee free. Start building your credit. Open a Chime checking account with at least $200 qualifying direct deposit to get started. Get started at chime.com/nowhere. That's chime.com/nowhere. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank N.A., member FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Call 1-844-244-6363 for details. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, guys. relationships are hard, whether it is your significant other, your partner relationship, maybe it's your friendship relationships, maybe it's your family relationships. They take a lot of effort and they take a lot of navigating, and sometimes they can take a lot of help. And the people at BetterHelp can help you talk you through your relationship situations and all the situations in your life. Chad and I have talked about therapy constantly on this show, and both of us have greatly benefited from the way we interact with others in the world and how we deal with how others interact with us through therapy. And so we can't say enough about therapy and the things that it can do for you in the way that you handle everything around you. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So do it. Get out there. Stop wallowing in your relationships that aren't working and start taking an active role in them or any other problem in your life. Wallowing is not a very kind word, but you know what I'm saying. I think there's a lot of power in taking an active role in the things that are difficult, and a professional can help with that. Visit betterhelp.com/somewhere today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/somewhere. Hey, can I tell you, so I was home recently, you know that.
And yeah, you left your, no, hold on, you left your credit card, okay, your new identification, and I just found out your stocking cap.
If I don't leave things, how am I supposed to be, like, how do I guarantee a return trip? Give me a way to guarantee a return trip to your home.
You're like somebody who's supposed to be a one-night stand and refuses to be.
Yeah. And yeah, those people end up often married and unhappy, just like you and I. So I think it's a really good system.
Yeah, right. Good plan.
Thank you. So I have to tell you, I don't know if I just think things that little, like now that I have a kid, that I'm like, well, everything kids do is cute and great.
Right.
I'm going to tell you two stories that I think are incredibly funny. And I want you to, guy who no longer has little kids, mm-hmm, tell me if you think this is regular human great and interesting and worth talking about on the podcast, or hey, you have parent brain now.
Okay. So I'm happy to.
The first one is my niece Elin, who we've talked, right, baby Ellen, who we've been talking about on the show forever.
Yep.
She's older now, and my brother Greg has been letting her watch these YouTube shows, and they teach kids how to play with toys. So it's an adult playing with a toy and like creating a universe, like playing pretend, right?
Oh, that should help with a kid's imagination. Great.
It actually does.
I disagree.
So what Greg said,
I don't care what the study said.
I've never seen the shows.
If a little kid is mimicking an adult's imagination, that's not going to be a good imagination.
God, I didn't know that I was invited to your small town TED talk on how to make sure kids turn out right. So
hey, you asked me a question.
Back in my day, if a kid wanted to listen to a radio, we'd smack his ass with it. So that wasn't the question. That was the story. That was the beginning of the story.
Oh, that was the story. Oh, okay. I thought you were asking me. Okay.
The point is, Greg did say, but that was my original response. I unfortunately responded very similarly to you. And he goes, actually, it has helped her creativity. It has kind of taught her how to create worlds and use her imagination. But he said, the other thing that it's done is he'll just be like in the kitchen doing something, and Elin will be in another room playing with her toys by herself. And all of a sudden he'll just hear her say, and remember, hit the like button and subscribe for more videos.
That is very, very funny.
Just from the basement, smash the like button.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, that's, well, she didn't come up with that. She's learning from others, but we don't have to get into that because I got scolded last time. What's the other one?
It's that made me laugh so hard. The other one.
That is super funny.
So Elin, I think I'm going to do this one right. Elin was at a park and she was there with my nephew Seth's kids, I believe. And Brooks is a couple, he's, you know, I think he's a year younger than Elon.
Okay.
And so they were at the park, and one of this little kid walks up to Greg and like starts talking to him and introduces himself as Brooke's best friend. And he goes, he has like glasses with him, and he goes, when I take my glasses off, you can't tell I'm a werewolf. Like, he's basically saying like the glasses make me a werewolf, and he's just randomly talking to Greg. And so then he goes, he's being the werewolf again. And then he just points at Elon and goes, I'd eat that kid. And then he points over at Greg's other daughter, Frankie, goes, I'd eat that kid. So just calmly telling an adult you're a werewolf and be like, I'll eat your kid and I'll eat your other kid. It's also very, very funny to me.
I wonder how that would work as an adult. Just show up at the park with glasses. Hey, just so you know, when I have my glasses on, things get crazy. Anyways, I'd eat that kid and I'd eat that kid. I don't think that would go as well.
Yeah, I don't think it would go as well.
I don't think you'd be able to outsmart the cops if you do that. My kid, you're right. I have two adult children, so listen to this shit. My son is getting married in Mexico in, what day is today? In like 10 days.
Is that,
which is, can I ask fucking
you a,
crazy.
Can I ask you a question? Is there, are you looking, because your special is this weekend.
Right.
And then his wedding is a few days after that. Is there an intensity to those two being so close to one another?
I do have a full week off. So I'm taping on the 2nd and he's getting married on the 14th.
Oh,
so I have 12 days.
Oh, because it's
so
10
now
days,
that I say 10,
10 days, yeah, 10 days from close. When the episode comes out. That's what it is. Look at you. Yeah. Math. Anyway,
so,
tell your story.
Yeah, so he's getting married, but it's no real intensity. The only intensity is it's like 104 people. That's how loved these kids are going to a destination wedding.
Is that a record? That feels like so many.
Must be. I know. That's what I'm saying. So it's just going to be a lot of things. Now, I have not planned any of it. My job was to get their tickets and to, was it to reserve their room? I don't even think I had to reserve their room. I had to reserve Olivia's room and get her ticket. But otherwise, that's it. I haven't had to do anything. It's
nice.
Been real great.
That's nice. Yeah. That's right
it's
up
been,
your alley.
It's been super. Yeah. You give me a couple of things that I have 4 months to do and I'm your guy. I'm absolutely your guy. So, I don't think there's going to be too much there. I mean, I think what I'm worried about is day drinking because all the shit happens at night and I just don't want to be the dad that's like, hey everybody, I like singing karaoke and sing Two Live Crews, Hey, We Want Some Pussy or something like that. That also seems right up my alley.
Is that a common vacation, Chad? Are you a big vacation day drink guy, or do weddings bring it out on you? What is bringing that concern to the surface?
Well, I don't drink every day, of course, but when I do drink, it's day drinking when I'm on vacation. I like to day drink. Then at dinner, I start with water and I don't drink anymore. And then I go to sleep and actually can rest.
Okay. That's a good strategy. Yeah,
that's my plan. But we'll see how it goes. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. We got a groom's dinner.
I was just going to say the important things at weddings happen around dinner time. So you'll be just geared up to give the wrong speech at the wrong time.
Jazzed up when I'm just like, these two met, you know, probably pork the first night. No idea. I actually never asked him about it, but you know, just really give
really
one of those
go hard. Is
ridiculous
there
speeches.
What does it feel like to? And I ask this without. I know there's no malice in the situation. It's a genuine curiosity.
Sure.
You've been divorced.
Correct.
And now. It's not just a wedding where you have to spend one day, like you're going to a destination with that side, because they'll all be there as well. Is that, right. How do you intend to exist? Is that stressful to you?
It's not because, you know, his other side of the family, his mom's side of the family, very nice. Very, very good people. So I don't think it's
oh, make no
gonna
mis-
be like
make no
hillbilly-ish.
Mistake. Yeah, I thought it would be more about you. and how
I'm not worried. No, I'm not worried about it. I mean,
how listen, you melt, I've, like how you over you overthink and melt down.
Nope. I've made my amends, and I'm going down there with Kelsey. That's going to be really fun. I have two guys that were in my wedding that are going to be there. Isaac was the ring bearer in one of his weddings, and so I think that it's going to be great, and we'll see them when we have to see them. It's not like we're going to,
all going snorkeling together. Yeah.
Right. To hang out with them, because then I will want some life insurance, but all of a sudden, yeah, he just didn't come up. We don't know what happened. I'm just underneath a boulder.
Not dead. Somebody goes down to rescue you and they're like, he's stuck under the boulder. They start trying to pull you off and you just start swatting their hands away. Like, I did this. I put the boulder here.
I'm trying to frame them. Get away from me. Yeah, no, I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be awesome. Olivia will be there. Olivia just turned 20, so she's going to be able to drink legally in Mexico, and so we'll see how that goes.
That'll be interesting.
Because she's got cousins the same age, and I have a feeling it's spring break
across
the board, and so I think it's going to get wild. So my three responsibilities – since Kelsey's going down there and doesn't know many people, is to make sure she's having fun and feeling included, make sure my son's wedding goes off without a hitch, he doesn't need anything, and then probably pick my daughter up from the drunk tank at least twice.
What? So I think after you get back from this and this trip is settled, and so you'll have your son married, you'll have your special recorded, I think it's time for us to start planning our vacation. And I saw some news show, local Minnesota news show that got invited to Hawaii and a travel agency helped him. And then they did a show there. And I think we're both savvy enough. Like, I'm a lunatic and you're the son of a con man. There's no way that we shouldn't be able to rub some elbows and get ourselves a good deal to go somewhere sunny and do an episode of this show or a few episodes of the show, and not only write it off, like I also want I'd like my hotel stay to be, I'd like to stay in a real nice place for not much money. Is that too much to ask?
Well, it's too much to ask if you're asking me to pull a Steve Daniels con job and then use our real names and the name of our actual podcast, because that's not how I learned how to do it. I got a lot of skills, but I learned a certain way.
I'm just saying maybe we use our charm and niceties and the asset that we have to leverage our way into a reduced vacation cost, even though I guess my first question is, if we're power ranking where we're going, right? Where you, me, Kelsey, Jenna, honestly, probably Ethan and my baby. If we're ranking where the six of us are going, maybe Jess, perhaps Joel comes along. I can't tell you exactly how many people are going to be in my cabana.
Oh my God.
I can't tell you. I probably have to get a multi-room cabana. But if
unbelievable.
If we're power ranking, don't act like that wouldn't be a very nice situation for you. If we are...
That's too many people for vacation. I need to tell you, if we're power ranking where we're going to go, wherever your number one is my number two. So I'm going to, go to your number one, I go to my number one, we discuss how we were so close to having a similar vacation, but we also still do this over Zoom, you from Costa Rica, me from Hawaii, and...
Let's do on three, let's say our place we want to go.
To actually where we would want to go to record this?
We're our number one destination to record one of these.
Okay, We'll do the top three,
okay?
Ooh, top three.
Now, here's the thing. Are we worrying about flight length? No, I'm just going desire here.
And let me tell you something. Here's how you get, I know this because my son's doing a destination wedding. Here's how you get a free or discounted room.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
You invite a bunch of people.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Listeners.
We invite a bunch of people
we need the Dan
to
Cummins
the resort.
Then.
They have to pay full price, and then you and I get a break, and then
It's just you and me.
Is anyone still listening? Is anyone interested?
We do that, and it's just you and me and Dan watching us sleep.
Yes, exactly.
So,
yep, and you know he knows how to fucking kill someone and get away with it. all that time suck shit, you know he is counting down murdering somebody. That's why I'll call him and be like, hey man, what's up? Everything good? And he'll be like, yeah, with you, that's fine.
He started writing his own short. He was like, I'm going to write some short horror stories. And then they're not short. He wrote a 40-minute long horror story. It's so good. He's so good at telling it. He's getting very good at this horror stuff to the point where I do think we should check in on him at times. Okay, so we'll do the top one on the list on three. One, two, three. Hawaii.
Costa Rica.
Okay, ready? Number two. One, two, three. Costa Hawaii. Rica. Number three. One, two, three. Bahamas.
Turks and Caicos. Okay.
I was going to say Turks and Caicos.
I want to go somewhere.
I'm so stupid. I think all of those things are the Bahamas, even though the Bahamas is a country. Like, I want to go to Jamaica, Bahamas.
Yeah. I want to go somewhere where the hut is on the dock. And yes. Then you can, there's like a glass where you can see through the floor.
That's what I want.
You can see the fish.
So that's the one we matched on. So I think we should go to Turks and Caicos, Bahamas. But our other two were just flip-flopped. We're so in sync. We're on the same cycle, I think, vacation cycle.
Oh, there's no doubt about
it. So whoever, listen, if you're listening, good people of Hawaii and or Costa Rica and or any of the many Bahamas,
get us there.
Whoever gets us into one of these huts, we will go. I would love to be in one of those huts. Do you ever price one of those huts out and you're like, well, I'm not an investment banker in New York City that also had a trust fund. Who the fuck is buying a hut? Who's staying in a hut for a week?
I think the issue is most people just need one hut, but you invite so many fucking people that you need 10 huts, and then that adds up quickly.
Sure. Well, we're a 10-hut team.
Oh, man. You got a lot going on.
I'm sorry that I travel in a pack, Chad. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Maybe we should just shoot our dreams in the face and just get like a giant Airbnb in Charleston or something.
You know,
that would be great. That seems like a great thing.
I just was in an Airbnb, and I got to tell you something. The 5-star reviews, it's like, did you not use the melted spatula? What the fuck are you giving a 5-star review of this place for? Where you try to make a birthday cake, and there's nothing. There's like a rusty whisk. You're like, who stayed here? What did you do? Did you bring all your own utensils?
I'll tell you what they did. They went into that Airbnb, they fucked, and then they left without changing the sheets. I think that is 98% of the business.
You're probably right. And I will tell you, I slept the hardest I've slept in since probably staying at your place. On this mattress. It was a super hard mattress. And right away, I had the thought, you know, this is really hard. I don't think I'm going to. And then I was sleeping. It was unbelievable. So now I'm trying to talk Kelsey into getting a hard mattress.
Did you look the brand up?
She's in love with the mattress. What's that?
Did you look the brand up?
No, of course not. Why would I do that?
God,
it'd be way too easy.
Yeah, but why make it so hard?
You know I like a challenge.
I know, which is why our Murder Village is going to be very successful the way we pitch it. Why not? Because you guys have like a big old king bed.
Right.
Why don't you get one of those beds where you got like two fulls next to one another? You get your full and she gets her full, and yours is hard and hers is soft.
Farmer bedroom?
No, not it's a Dick Van Dyke room where they each have their singles. Yeah. I'm saying you like combine them together for a big giant bed, but you each have your own side.
I would be into that. Because right now I need to try anything. I also, by the way, I woke myself up this morning. I snore when I'm on my back, which could be sleep apnea. And I have been so against that because sleep apnea, and please excuse me if you have it, it's for fat people. And I am so against having sleep apnea. By the way, I have a bunch of friends that aren't fat that have sleep apnea. I was just kidding. But also, I don't want to wear that mask. It was funny. Kelsey and I had this conversation where a long time ago, I said, when we were talking about noisemakers for the bedroom, like white noise or whatever, I said, the hardest I sleep is when I'm on a golf retreat with my friend Ryan, who has sleep apnea, and his little sleep apnea air pump is the perfect white noise for me to sleep.
Sure.
And so I go, maybe I should just get one of those masks and then just have that in the room for the white noise. And she goes, oh, I am not sleeping with someone in a mask. That's what she said. And so, but now that I might need it, she's like, oh, I would be happy to. I don't care about them. And I'm like, yeah, but you said, and she's like, no, but I thought you were joking about the white noisemaker. And I'm like, I don't know about this. So she might have to sleep with fucking, what's his name from Batman?
Bane.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah,
Bane. Rises. Hello. I was born in the darkness.
I just got back from Houston. You have no idea what you're dealing with. It doesn't matter the impression. Sai's not good at it.
This sounds like Sean Connery, like really sick, like a really
ladies
sick...
and gentlemen, welcome to The Rock.
What who falls asleep first?
She does every single time. Is not she... every single time, 98% of the time she does.
Is she one of those people who she wakes up in the middle of the night and is like and snuggles over to you?
Yep. Yeah, she's attracted to the body warmth, but the problem is then when hers gets deflected onto me, then I'm super hot. So but we have been doing a thing where if we spoon, it's on her side of the bed.
And then you roll away from
that. Way I can go way over to my side of the bed and there's some distance between us.
Do you think it would be a bad deal if after you put her to sleep by spooning, you're like, okay, good night, and then you went to your other room with your sleep apnea mask, the white noise machine that was in the basement and was all sure. dark?
I have done that before where at one point she was right in the middle of the bed, kind of starfished. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to have enough room for myself on either side. So I went downstairs to sleep. And
did you miss her? Couldn't sleep?
I just don't think it's good for a relationship when you're waking up wondering why the fuck someone isn't in their bed.
Yeah, that's probably a talk about it before you do it situation.
Yeah, but you know me. I like to just try it out, see if it sticks.
See what happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would assume...
You and Jenna sleep in a different bed, right?
Yeah, I mean, right now, for sure, yeah. I mean, we had to because I would... My body.
Because you hate each other?
Yeah, it's mainly how we feel about each other's personalities. But right now, she sleeps in the baby's room. So.
Okay.
And then I come into the baby's room in the middle of the night, and I'm like, what the fuck is all this noise? And then I... Then I go,
oh, chitlins.
Then I go back, yeah. No, it's really
you know what's going to happen, though? Enjoy the noise now, because you are going to eventually, Sunday's going to be 20, and you're going to go visit him wherever he is.
I think he'll probably keep living here.
Okay, yeah, that's what you hope for. But he's going to be off living his own life, and you're going to encourage that because you're a good person. And then you're going to go out, and he's going to go, hey, maybe we should go to that place that has lobster rolls. And you're like, yeah, why wouldn't we? And then you get there, and then you see MP next to the lobster roll. And that doesn't mean military police. It means market price. And so then you don't even ask because you're confident that it's the same price as it was last year. And for some reason, I don't know what happened, but maybe they only found 10 lobsters this year. But market price is $42.50 for a 6-ounce lobster roll. $42.50 for a fucking chunk of lobster on a piece of toasted bread. And two of them, $100 for two lobster rolls. And then it's like, where's my birthday present? Motherfucker, lobster roll. That's where your birthday present is.
So you had a nice time at Olivia's.
I had a great time. She actually got to surf in the morning with her boyfriend and one of her best friends. And it was actually super nice. What was great for me is I got a wetsuit. And then when we got to the beach, it was too big for me. Now, I don't normally have that problem. And I was really stoked about it. Anytime clothes are too big for me, I count that as a win.
Yeah.
I take them off and I enjoy the rest of the day.
It's hard to spin that into you being a fatso, which is what you try to spin most things into. And I didn't. I think that's unspinnable. I don't know how
it's unspinnable because I was thrilled. The guy looked at me. He handed me the wetsuit and joke's on you, bitch. How about that?
I'm going to go take a skinny nap in my car because I'm working hard, baby.
It was really funny because Olivia, her boyfriend, Sweet Sweet Cole is what I call him, got her a surfboard for her birthday, found it on Facebook Marketplace.
Okay.
So gets her a surfboard, which is better than anything I could have gotten her because she is really, really into surfing. So for her to have her own board, that means a lot. Cole is, I will tell you this, you know, dads are supposed to, you know, always say
don't
some
don't get my
shit.
Girl, my daughter pregnant or I'll shoot you to right. death. That's a more literal version of it, but.
Yeah, but I do think he's a real good kid and very thoughtful. So he got her this thing, but she kept slipping off during the morning session. That's what they call it. So she kept, of surfing, by the way, not sex with Sweet Sweet Cole. So she's on the surfboard, slipping off a little bit, and she goes, I need to go get some wax. So we're walking to this surf place, and Olivia says, well, I don't want to ask how to put the wax on, because there's no group that's more judgmental than surfers. And I was like, first of all, have you met the gays? Because they are, bar none, the most judgmental. And I'm talking dudes. Gay dudes have judgmental locked up. Locked up. So they're number one. And then I gave her, surfers can be number two. And then I said, I think teenage girls are number three and probably teenage boys are number four. Unless you're a teenage boy that's gay, that's out, then you skyrocket to the top.
Yeah, sure. That tracks.
And then she goes, well, I think you're number three. And then we didn't talk for a couple blocks. And then we go to the surf shop.
You sure you're not number one? You just made a list of other people who are judging.
Yeah, I know. So... We're right outside the surf shop and she goes, I don't want to ask. They're going to be so mean to me because surfers think you should know everything and they do this and they do that. And I go, you're being kind of judgmental about surfers right now. So let's just go in there and let's figure out like how to put this wax on. And if they don't tell us if they're dicks, you don't have to see them again. And then we'll just watch a YouTube video. And so she goes in, we go in, we finally found the wax and she goes, I can't do it. I can't ask them. So I go, hey man, I need some wax for a surfboard. And he goes, what kind? And I go, can I tell you something? I don't know. And he goes, well, what kind of board is that? I go, it's a soft top. And he goes, all right, then you're going to want this. And I would also add this. So my suggestion, put this on first, try it. If this alone doesn't work, add this second one crisscross, and that should do the trick. And I was like, thank you very much. And we get outside. And I was just like, can you believe that motherfucker, the way he talked to us, giving us the exact way to put wax on? I almost, when he told me, put this one on first, I almost said, fuck you. Don't you judge me, you bitch. And she's sitting there like, yeah, I get it, dude. You don't have to always take things to 1,000. You can just say he was nice. You don't have to put on this big dog and pony show.
Well, she's probably still right, though. You met somebody who works somewhere.
That's what I told her before. I said their job is to give us information. If you are out surfing and you ask some guy with long, blonde, ratty hair, hey, how do you put wax on a surfboard? He'd be like, I'm surfing. Leave me alone. You shouldn't be out here if you don't know that. That's fine.
You're going to ask me how to say hang 10 next? Get out of my way. Who's that guy?
So I was like, you know, I think this is going to be fine. And she wasn't having it. I don't know if she's had some weird experience with surfers, but she was not having it. But this guy couldn't have been nicer.
It doesn't seem, if I was like, hey, what's a really inviting environment for a woman to learn something? I don't know that like... surfing's on the bottom of the list, but it's probably not the top.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and this kid was awesome. He's given me all the information. She starts to panic a little bit, so she goes towards the entrance. And then right at the end of the conversation, he put his glasses on, and he was like, I'd eat that kid.
Oh, bummer, bummer.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.